that's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say I wanna be more than just some.
Good morning and welcome to the A New Day Show. I am the queen of the empowered soul, and I'm so blessed to be your host this morning. And as usual, we are broadcasting out of Brookfield, Connecticut. And I tell you, we are experiencing an amazing, beautiful Wednesday morning. And I pray that you are enjoying the same thing wherever you are. We are having two super excited guests this morning. Our first guest will be none other than Miss Liz Scott. And our second episode will be Miss Riley Pinsky. But before I bring our first guest on, and she's been here with us, signed on for a while, waiting patiently, I just want to do a little housekeeping. You all know that I have quite a few different ministries that I do, and I'm continue to touch lives, and I thank God that He has allowed me to do that. And one of those programs that's dear to my heart is the French Cultural Exchange Immersion Program. And I am still in need of some host families for these teenagers arriving on Friday. So for those people who are on live and you are listening, please call me after I get off the air and I can give you more details. And for that, you can reach me at 203-546-8210. And I'll give you more information about the program. I tell you, it is one thing that you could do that will truly, truly, truly bless your life. And I just have a strong feeling that this show is just going to be an extremely global episode, because for those of you who have read the blog, you realize that Liz is an Australian. And I was blessed to meet Liz maybe just about 3 weeks ago when she blessed us with her skill and expertise of singing. And I said, my heavens, I just have to have her on the show, because you know that any good thing that I encounter, I want to share it with my listeners. So now Liz is just one of those other precious gems that I have stumbled on, and it was worth the while to bring her here. So Liz, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, my sister?
I am very well, and I am also enjoying this beautiful sun today.
Yes, because it so happened that we are in the same town this morning.
Yeah.
I was telling the listeners that you're an Australian. Yes, you are an Australian, but you are here studying in the United States. I'm glad for that, because if it wasn't for your adventure of stepping out, I would not be blessed to be in your company. So I'm thankful for that, Liz.
Oh, well, it was a very, it was an honor and a privilege to sing for you and to be asked to do this morning, so.
Now, let us start from the beginning, because we all have stories, and our journey is accompanied by various stories, different segments of the stories, and we all travel different journeys, but we all have stories. And let's go back to the beginning. Who is Liz Scott? And tell us about your humble beginnings, please.
Well, like you said, I was born in Sydney, Australia, and my parents were very adventurous and lived in a few interesting countries, such as, and so I grew up also in New Guinea, and I was also in a little island called Guam for about, I did elementary school in Guam, And then I returned back to Sydney and finished my high schooling there. And from then on, I just had this desire to tackle music and singing. I always had a love for songwriting, and I always seemed to be given many opportunities to write songs with some amazing writers. And I was fortunate also to go to a church in Sydney that's quite well known here called Hillsong Church. And they and my first singing teacher was by a lady called Darlene Check, who's quite a well-known worship leader and songwriter here. And she became a great role model and mentor to me. And I think I coming to America was something I had such a desire to do from when I was little. And now I'm finally here, and I've been here for a while now, and just I feel like I'm definitely on a path now. I feel like God's definitely got me on a path, but it's not been an easy path, but he's got me on a path. So, yeah, learning many, many lessons, and it's a lot of fun, though. It's a lot of fun now. I think when I first came to America, it was very... It's funny, some people are afraid to go to Australia.
Liz,
because,
I want you to talk about when you come to America yet, because I want us to lead up to that.
Okay.
When you started your music, although you were in a Hillsong church, you were doing what kind of music were you doing?
I was writing pretty much pop music at the time.
So let's talk about that portion of your career for a few. And then... After that, we are going to fast forward to coming to America.
Yep. Okay.
So let's talk about your pop writing career.
Yep. Okay. Well, I started when I was actually about 13. I was lucky enough to be involved with a very large record company at the age of 13 who... pretty much took me under their wing and helped develop me as a pop writer and trained me as a songwriter. They allowed me to write with a lot of their top writers. And and then I got invited to a couple of international songwriting festivals where I was allowed to write with some very well-known American writers and artists that a lot of them have... received Grammys, so I've felt very honoured and very blessed that I was given the opportunities. Because when I actually went to these, I was actually representing Australia as so I actually got to go twice to these international writing festivals. So that was great.
At the age of 13, you were rubbing shoulders with known musicians, songwriters, very affluent people in the music industry at the tender age of 13. How did that all feel to you?
Oh, it was a dream come true. It was amazing. It was very surreal. But at the same time, something felt right. I didn't know what it was, but something in me felt right, like, no, this feels right that I'm meant to be doing this. Even though a lot of them were a lot older than me and had many, many accolades and global hits worldwide, something in me felt this is right. I'm meant to be here, even at 13.
I can't talk. I'm on the radio. Yes, go ahead. Liz?
Yep.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you're saying that something felt right.
Yeah.
And what happened after that? At the age of 13, you weren't sure what that something was, right?
No, I didn't know what that something was. It just felt right, so I just kept going with it.
Right. At what age you realize what that something was? Because I have a feeling that was because you were following through on your God-ordained destiny. of being a songwriter and a musician. And you know, when you hit that bullseye, it gives you such a wonderful feeling.
Well, I lost my father to cancer when I was just out of high school, and it was about a year after that, all of a sudden, I just had so many doors opening for me to be invited on, like, I was signed, another label wanted to take me on. I just had opportunities just seemed to be coming out of the sky, and I sort of felt then, whoa, this has got to be coming from, this isn't just me doing this. This has to be coming from somewhere else. I always had I always had a strong faith. My mum was a very strong Christian, and I always had a strong faith. But it was when I started to see these opportunities in front of me that I just thought, wow, okay, this is pretty cool. Like this is not every person gets these opportunities. So there's something bigger here doing this, not me.
Right. When your father died, was there any setback in your career, as if you can remember? Did that set you back in any way?
For the first couple years, I actually went forward. I actually just had all these opportunities starting to just come about. Like I had a major record company wanted to sign me, and then I ended up in Bali writing with some of the biggest writers, songwriters, and then it just sort of went from there. I started having songs on the radio in Sydney, sung by other artists as well. So doors started opening that I just thought, this isn't me doing this. This has to be something bigger than me doing this. And my faith, obviously being in God, I'm thinking, wow, God, you're doing this. You're really doing this.
God was telling you, baby, although I remove your biological daddy, I'm going to take care of you. So God was letting all these opportunities open up for you so you wouldn't have time to be mourning. Because when you would sit down maybe to get depressed and worried, another phone call came and another opportunity. So you were always on the go. So God was indeed looking out for you at that early age as well.
Yes. Oh, definitely, definitely. And it was unbelievable. And my father wasn't really, my father didn't really have much of a faith. He wasn't really a Christian man. He was a very kind and loving man. But when he was told he had cancer, the night he had cancer, he went to sleep and he had a dream, and he woke up the next morning and he told me and my mum that he had a dream that he was flying with the Lord and that the Lord had told him it was going to be okay. And coming from him, we were just like, oh my goodness, this really happened.
Ooh, what a powerful testimony. Isn't that something? So, you know, sometimes they say that, you know, people on their deathbeds they accept the Lord, but that was good that even when he was sick, he knew who was talking to him, and I have no doubt that he accepted Christ right there in his terminal stage.
Oh, he definitely did, and after that, he was just so hungry for more of God. He just couldn't stop saying, and his eyes just were so beautiful blue, and he just had such a peaceful aura to him, and it gives me such hope too for people that struggle with their faith or worry about family members that aren't you know, don't believe in God or struggle in their walk, that, you know, God can come at the last minute to anybody and go, hey, I'm really here.
Exactly. I thank you, Liz, for sharing this, because there is someone that is listening that this story is going to help, because it doesn't matter where we are in life or what country we are from or in, we all have unsaved loved ones. And all we have to do is to keep praying for them and keep loving them, because God will enter when we think not and make a difference in their lives. So that's a very powerful testimony that you're giving. And I want to take the opportunity to welcome your supporters from around the world, because I know people are tuned into the show from around the world, and I want to tell them that I love them for doing so and for supporting you. And for those who want to step out and call in, the telephone number is 1-646-200-44. The telephone number for the callers to call is 1-646-915-8166. And I want to welcome the people in the chat room as well. So if the people that are tuning in to support Liz Scott this morning, her fans from around the world, if you want to join on into our chat room, you can also do that. I know you're all up in her chat room, but I would love to see you and talk with you as well. So you can join in our chat room on www.blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. And Liz, you could type that in your chat room so they see that. So I just want to welcome the people. So we want to fast forward, Liz. We have 42 minutes remaining in this episode.
Yep.
And we want to fast forward to coming to America.
Yep. Yep.
Why did you come to America?
I had a burning desire to come to America. I just felt I had to come, and I came with my songs to try and see if anyone would take any interest in me and them.
Mm-hmm.
And I came, and I found someone who was very excited by my music, and his name is Marcus Moser.
Mm-hmm.
And he then signed me to his record company and then brought me over on an artist visa, which is what I'm here on at the moment, promoting.
However, Liz, you
yep.
came, and I call you an established musician when you came, because
yep.
you've been a musician since the age of 13. You were a very well-known songwriter in Australia and other countries. You work with a lot of prominent people in the music industry. And you came to America with a burning desire and material in hand, ready to be picked up. However, you did encounter something personal that happened to you that when I heard it, I saw that as something very devastating, but you did not let that deflate your tires.
No.
Would you like to tell the listeners about what that was?
I suppose I had a time in the very early beginning. I had a moment where I just was feeling very, very doubtful of why I was here. I felt that maybe God had got it wrong, or I had got it wrong, and that I wasn't meant to be here. And I pretty much, sitting on the steps in Manhattan one day, I didn't really have anywhere to go. I didn't really have a house, anywhere to even sleep that one particular night. I didn't have any money. And it was a situation that had come about, and I literally was homeless for a very short time. And that's when I looked up at the sky, and I sort of just declared out to the sky, I said, "You taught me to trust in your ways, to always look up to your face, and I pray you'll show me your grace." And within a few minutes, a man appeared that took care of me for the rest of the day. And the way this man sort of came to me and the way he sort of looked after me, and he kept saying to me over and over again, "I feel like I'm meant to take care of you. I feel like I'm meant to take care of you today. I don't know why." So it was just an unbelievable experience. So I think for a lot of musicians and people in my industry, there are a lot of highs and lows. And I think the lows, because we're very creative people, we're very emotional people, and God has put the emotional sensitive buttons in us. So we write songs that are about people's emotions, our emotions, so we are much more sensitive. But being so sensitive, we get hurt, I think, our interior. We get hurt a lot.
Yes, because a lot of times I know, not only in your situation, but in other musicians' situation, there are people that, and not only musicians, but, you know, entrepreneurs and other small business people, we entrust our success to people who is always not very faithful to us. And, you know, sometimes it takes people who are close to you to stab you in the back. But the great thing about that, when we realize to whom we belong and who is in charge, we really don't take those hypocritical treatment too seriously. And while you were sitting on those steps in New York City, you knew to whom you belong, and you knew where your support came from, and you reached out to the one person who you know would not let you down, and
yes,
and that person provided for you out of
yes
nowhere. That person
yes
provided for you, and that has not stopped until now. You have just been excelling and excelling and excelling. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I would say since that day in Manhattan, I think, I always thought I'd surrendered my life completely to God. But I think from that day on, I think I felt like I gave complete surrender to Him. It wasn't like I was only going to church on a Sunday and living my life my way the rest of the week. From that moment on, I felt like it was 24/7. Okay, God, you've provided someone to look after me now. Here, you've opened this door here. I have to get this right. And yes, since then, He's just provided person after person to take
yeah
care of me.
And Liz, you have said the right thing, because we have all been there. Go dress up in our Sunday best and go to church and sing, and then we leave and we figure, okay, we did what we were meant to do. But there's a difference in totally surrendering and acknowledging the true relationship with Christ versus
yes
going to worship and do your deeds as you feel and come back out. Isn't that a wonderful feeling?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I'm amazed that we go to our church, we have our service, but when we come out, like, how many people get in their car or go to the shops, and they, you know, throughout the day they start to let all the disappointments and the aggression of the world get back into them, and it's
that's
like,
right,
yeah, I just feel it's just so important that we just constantly, constantly throughout our day, throughout our, well, as soon as we wake up, just praying straight away, God, I surrender completely to you to this day. Help me to do it your way, not my way. And always about Him and less of ourselves, and it's about Him and letting Him direct our steps, and how He just opens doors and brings people into our lives that you just think, wow, this is so not me doing it. And then other people can see that it's not you doing it, because I know I have friends in Australia that would be like, that's not her doing this. She's not capable of doing a lot of this. This has to be coming from something much bigger than her doing this, which is what's awesome to see. And I'm actually, where I'm actually reading at the moment is saying about where God just sends signs to you to let you know that He's with you. And just the signs that keep coming, you know, with all the people that I'm involved in my life, we have things happen, little signs, or Joyce Meyer calls them God winks, little coincidences that happen along the way that we think, wow, how did that happen? And I have friends that will ring me and say, hey, guess what? This just happened. And it's like, see, that's another little sign that God's really doing something here. And I don't know what it is completely yet, but I feel like I'm on a path right now, because since that day...
You know, Liz, they are not coincidences. They are divine appointments.
Yes,
where
right.
we have nothing to do with it, and we couldn't do it. So it
no.
had to be divinely set up by God. And
yes.
for the past few minutes, you have been talking about the path that you have been on. And I want to let the listeners know that although you were so prominent in the pop world, you switched
yes.
gear. Well, not you, but God switched your gears.
Yeah.
And now you're into writing praise and worship music,
yes.
Which bring us to your newly released single. And
yes.
everybody know I'm not technically savvy. I am a working express. So what I want to do, I want to ask you if you would please play Angel for the listeners, and then we'll go back. At the end of Angel, we'll go back into our conversation.
Okay, I'll try and play a little bit from my little speaker. I'll play just a little bit of it. Okay, if it will allow me to. Hang on, here
okay.
it comes.
Eyes on me, without a word I let him speak, but I felt out of peace, and I thought I thought it wasn't wrong, he looked like he didn't belong, he must have been an angel.
Okay. Did that come
all
through?
All right. Thank you so much. And can you please tell the listeners where they can get that?
Yes. They can either go to iTunes and download that, or they can go to my MySpace site, which is www.myspace.com/LizScottMusic. I think Amazon also have it on for sale.
What
here
is your website, Liz?
Sorry?
What is your personal website? www.lizscottmusic.com?
My personal website is, at the moment, some of the sites are being reworked on at the moment, so probably the best would be the MySpace at the moment, which is the www.myspace.com/lizscottmusic.
Hold on, myspace.com/...
Liz Scott Music.
COTT. Okay. All right. So let us continue.
Yes.
What is this new journey like for you with no writing, praise, and music? And I know that God is putting all this music inside of you, and like writing this new praise and worship is really effortless for you because it's not about you. And
no.
how does this feel? This
it's incredible because over the last couple of years, particularly the last year, I definitely faced a few very, very scary situations that I felt, God, you have to get me out of this. You have to get me out of this. I have to get out of this. I can't. I knew he was, and then I felt he was showing me signs. Okay, I'm going to get you out of this. I'm going to get you out of this, but just keep close to me. And I felt my first praise and worship songs were my own personal prayers to God. And because I love to sing, I really was writing them as my own personal prayers to God. And I never dreamed anyone else would hear them. I didn't plan on anyone else ever hearing them. I really thought they were, rather than just praying to him as out loud, I just thought, I am going to sing because I know the power of praise mm-hmm. in music as well. Coming from Hillsong, I know that singing to God is just such a powerful way of just connecting with Him even more. And so I just started writing my own personal prayers to Him. And as I was doing that, I felt like He was giving me directions. Okay, I'm going to get you out. I'm going to help you. I'm going to deliver you from your situation. I'm going to bring in a few extra people to help you. And that's what He did. And each song that I've written has been my own, has been a little lesson that He's trying to communicate to me, which blows my mind to think, as I'm writing these songs, it's like He's speaking directly to me about something.
It's amazing, Liz, is that when we are all going through our stuff and our issues, we think that we are the only one in the world that is going through that. And God is in music is that, hey, this prayer is being prayed all over the world.
Yes.
So let me get this song out to people so they can be comforted in these words, because it's not just you going through that, baby. A lot of people are, and we can help them. Isn't it amazing?
Oh, it unbelievable, unbelievable. And the Bible study, one of the Bible studies about Moses being sent to the desert and how we all sort of get sent to the desert when we finally surrender to God, say, okay, God, I'm yours, and how He says, okay, well, so then He takes you sort of to the desert, and I literally was sent to a desert for a few months and prayed for God to deliver me from the situation, which He did, and I'm here, I feel that He's continuing now to shape me and mold me and... but these songs that are just sort of coming, I mean, we did a Bible study and it was about being in intimacy with Jesus, getting to know Jesus more. And we were all praying about it. And I remember I prayed, I said, oh, you know, how do you get closer to Jesus? And 2 days later, this song just powered through me and it was called Jesus, I Am Yours. And I feel like I didn't even write it. It just came and I've played it to quite a few people and they've just been so moved by it. And each song has come like that, where it's been my own struggle of something going on, something's going on, and I'm just constantly praying, God, please deliver me from this, keep me on path with You, keep me in Your will, help me to do it Your way, not mine. And it's amazing, just amazing how it just all seems to be finally coming together.
Wonderful. Because, you know, Liz, I wouldn't even say finally coming together, because when you put a word like that on it, then it looks like you is in control. But because God is timeless, we just need to accept the phase that we're at until He's ready to move you to the next phase. Because as His children, we are never going to have it all together, because we don't know what else He has for us.
Yeah.
So we just need to accept where we are and till He's ready to move us again. Liz, what instruments do you play? Because you're not only a songwriter and a singer, but you play instruments. What instruments do you play?
I play the piano and the guitar. Not brilliantly,
right,
but enough to write my songs on. So
you've been holding out good stuff from us. You didn't tell that, right? I have to make sure the listeners know who you really are. We have 25 minutes remaining on this episode. I want you to tell the listeners, if they want to get in touch with you, how they do that.
Okay.
You have an email. Do you take email and that kind of stuff? Give that to them and then we'll get back into conversation.
If listeners really would like to speak to me directly, I think the MySpace is probably still the best. I receive messages on MySpace, so I'm allowed to look into the message part of MySpace. So if people go to MySpace, which the address again is www.myspace.com facebook.com/LizScottMusic and just message something there. It's interesting because, as you're saying, like as talking about this journey, looking back, you can see it's such a clear path that you've walked. But as you're going through it, you just think, is anyone, that, you know, you just the struggles and that. But looking back, it just seems such a clear path.
Exactly. And, you know, Liz, when I've been in that situation, which I have been several times, other people don't understand, and they are not meant to understand because it's not their journey. It's yours. Right. And there are some people who will embrace you and support you even though they do not understand.
Yeah.
And those are the people who love us unconditionally and they support whatever we are doing. But when we are on these paths and this journey, it can be very lonesome.
Oh, very, very, yeah.
We have 23 minutes remaining in this episode. What can we look for in the future from Liz Scott?
Well, I was told last week that my pop Christian album, I would say, is released this week, and so that's coming out now on iTunes. And then the praise and worship songs that I'm now writing, I'm just starting to, I feel like God's sort of directing my path with what he wants to do with them. And as well as that, where I met you, the oratory.
Yes.
They've actually asked me to host a songwriting workshop for people in the New England area to come and learn a little bit about songwriting, as well as receive healing through the power of songwriting. As most of us songwriters, we write from our pain and our suffering, the oratory wants to combine what they do and put God's healing and power into this. So it's very exciting because I actually used to teach songwriting workshops back in Sydney, Australia, for quite many years, and so they sort of out of the blue asked me to do this, which I almost fell on the floor when they asked me to do it. I thought, hang on, I used to do this. How on earth did this come about? Oh, that's right. I'm not in control here. So I'm putting together with the oratory a series of songwriting workshops to be for anyone who's a poet, lyricist, singer, song, and it doesn't matter what level, if you've never written a song or if you're an established writer, it's going to be some of the tips that I've learned, some of the tips on the industry, but also how to recover from when you do get the hits. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're putting it together right now.
Yes. Now, somebody in the chat room is asking me if I have any of your music. So I am letting her know. I'm sure she's listening too. I don't physically have the music, but I was blessed by a live performance by Liz, and that's why I invited her here on the show. But if you're just joining me in the chat room, you can go to www.myspace.com /LizScottMusic, and you can go to where else you say iTunes, Liz?
Yes, iTunes.
To download Liz's music, and she is an amazing songwriter and, you know, great singer and all that, and now she's getting ready to launch her healing ministry. And I'm telling you, people, this is a powerful woman. And I'm telling you, she is small in stature, but, oh, spiritually, she is 13 feet tall. And I've been so blessed to know her. Liz, I know there's some young, gorgeous women who is listening to the show. and they're probably going through some struggles, whatever it is. What kind of encouragement would you give that a young person, you know, rather either male or female, what kind of encouragement would you give them, please?
Okay. Well, first of all, I think people, when you're young and starting out in the industry, you really believe that some of us tend to think, you know, I have what it takes. I'm going to do it on my own. You know, I mean, I can do this on my own. And I just think that there will come a point where you realize you can't do this on your own. You can't do this on your own. You otherwise your career will be very short-lived as a musician, as an artist. If you have that mentality, I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody. I don't really believe in God. I'm going to do this on my own. That's when I think people in this industry get into a lot of trouble. And even to the point of just starting to have a faith, just starting to pray to God, just starting to really try and just be guided by what you feel he's guiding you into. And unfortunately, there are, you know, we do get a lot of knockbacks in this industry. It can come from a close family member saying, oh, you know, that criticism can come in any form. And sometimes we might have parents or people that expect so much of us that the pressure of this industry can just push us incredibly to the point where that's when we get into the dark side of the industry, where there's a lot of alcohol problems, a lot of drugs. So that area, that's where I feel, and in my life personally, I have struggled in areas of particularly, and I'm not afraid to say it, I did struggle with alcohol for some time. Mm-hmm. And I just prayed, and I would pray for God to help me break the habit. And I tell you, when you pray for God to break a habit of yours, he will do it. And the way he does it is unbelievable. So for all people out there in this industry and in any industry that are struggling with any addiction, to pray to God to help you to break an addiction is an absolutely amazing thing. Yep.
16 minutes leave. We have a caller on the air, and somebody in the chat room is asking me, can you ask her if she can sing on the show? But before you answer that, let's get to the person on the phone. Caller, good morning. You're on the air. Caller, your first three digits are 862. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Yes? My name is Charity.
Yeah.
Hi, good morning. Did you say Judy?
No, my name is Charity.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Are you calling from, please?
I am calling from Virginia.
Oh, hi, good morning. Welcome. And do you have a question for Liz, please?
No, I don't. I'm actually just listening.
Okay, well, all right. Thank you for joining us. All right. So, Liz, somebody in Atlanta, Georgia is asking, can you sing on the show?
Right now or at another time?
Oh, I guess she meant right now, but we'll have you on. Certainly have you on again when your album is released. But I think the sister is asking about now.
Oh, right now. Sure, I can sing something now.
We have 14 minutes, and somebody else is asking you, Liz, what's your interpretation? She is deaf. I guess they're asking you, what's your interpretation of death?
Of what? Of?
Okay, I'm sorry. No, that was not meant for you. That's why I don't like to multitask.
That's all right. That's all right.
She wants
so,
to sing a little something. But before you do, we have another caller, Liz.
Yep.
This is lighting up. Caller, good morning.
Good morning, Sister Daphne.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Who is calling, please?
Great. This is Cece.
Hi, Cece. Do you have a question for Liz?
Well, no. I just wanted to tell her I just listened to your music, Liz. And
yep.
It is beautiful. I love it.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing what you do. And, what inspired you to start, making an album and all that?
That particular album, those songs were pretty – each song I write is a personal story or something
mm-hmm.
that I've gone through. So
mm-hmm.
Each song on this Princess album that's coming out is, it's written from something I've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But totally it's God that's helped me, given me the talent, helped
mm-hmm.
me to write these songs. And it's so even though some of the songs are pop songs, though, I feel that he's allowed me to do this. So
exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's pop or not. The point is you're acknowledging him. So, you don't have a lot of cursing and stuff in it. So
lessons to be learned for everybody who listens to that.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
And the anointing, whether it's a pop or not, the anointing from your voice
Amen.
Is what's going to bring them home.
Oh. No, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It makes me want to cry. No. I've always felt strongly about pop music, and I've always wanted to bring my faith into pop music.
Mm-hmm.
I love writing the praise and worship, but I feel like the music, the mainstream secular industry can be such a dark place, to be
mm-hmm.
able to bring
mm-hmm.
a Christian message into a pop song that can then be sung in mainstream is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So it is part, I still feel that's still a burning desire in my heart still to sort of keep in the secular mainstream area as well as
mm-hmm.
the praise and worship, but writing writing messages that are just allowing people to, get to know God, how God wants them to get to know him
mm-hmm.
in his time, not our time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes,
that's right. Liz, we have 11 minutes. Would you like to sing now?
I can sing, okay, hang on, a sip of water here. Okay. What should I sing? Should I sing
yours. We're going to let them know they have to write a check and send it in because they're getting a special show here.
Special show. Okay. Sure. Okay. I could sing a little bit of one, actually. I'm actually writing at the moment. It's called You Meet Me. And it's actually about how just when I feel like, am I going off course, God? Nothing's making sense again. Am I doing the right thing? Bang, something happens. And I feel like he's met me right where I am.
All
he's
right.
That he's with me. And he's saying, go, girl. You're where I want you to be. Don't worry about anybody else out there. They're where I want them to be. And if they're meant to be a part of your journey, I'll bring them in at some point. And if they're not, we'll keep working on them.
Not okay.
So I've only actually written the chorus. So for any songwriters out there that have any ideas to this, they can get in contact with me. I do like to co-write. I'll put that out there to songwriters. I do love co-writing with other people. It's a lot of fun. So,
all right,
hey,
so ladies and gentlemen, this Liz Scott in concert.
It's going to be a cappella. So it's just the chorus. It just goes, you meet me where I am. You always meet me where I am. You always meet me where I am, so that I can see you guiding me by the hand. You're leading me by the hand. You always meet me, Lord, where I am. You always meet me, even when I don't understand. You meet me so that I can see that you are leading me by the hand. When you meet me, so I can see. You always meet me, so I can see that you are guiding me by the hand. So, yeah. That's all I have for that one.
That was beautiful.
Right. Thank you so much for doing that for us. Liz, we have 9 minutes remaining.
Yep.
Would you please give us your closing thoughts, please?
Sure. Okay. Well, in this industry, for anybody, I just feel like I just wanted to say, anyone in this industry, if you really want to become a powerful songwriter, a powerful singer, a powerful musician, let God do that with you, through you, for you. Don't try and do it on your own. As soon as you feel yourself doing, struggling, always stop and just pray, God, help me to not stop doing it my way. Let me do it your way. Even if it's every 10 minutes, half an hour, once an hour, just stop and just say, God, I just surrender my thoughts and feelings to you right now. And just feel that peace and just the Holy Spirit just come through you, and just let him just guide your steps. If you feel fear, just pray through the fear, and just embrace every opportunity that he gives you. And when the success comes, just give him the glory. Talk, you know, whether you're in a pop career, want to be in a pop career, a rock career, or Christian music, or praise and worship, you know, as long as you give him the glory, that's what he wants from us. He wants us to be able to turn around and just say how awesome he is. And he is so awesome. And then when the falls come and when it gets really hard, that's when I look at it as our testing time. You know, he's testing us to see, you know, what are we going to do here? Are we going to run away and just say, it's too hard, God, I give up? Or are we going to stay strong and say, you know what, God, I know you've got something up ahead for me, and I know you're testing me here, and this is building my character, and I'm going to fight for you because I know you're fighting for me. And that's when we get into our worship. That's when we start praying, and that's our testing time. And then when the testing time is over, he always does. He's always faithful. He's always faithful. And he just makes these awesome things come. But it's in those testing times, the waiting times, that's always the hard part. And for singers who think that, you know, they've missed their chance, is it too late for me? It's never too late with God. It doesn't matter how old you are, what you look like. Unfortunately, this industry, you know, is of the world. We think we've got to be, you know, a certain size, look a certain way, be a certain age. But I think God's sort of trying to break some boundaries here and say, it doesn't matter how old you are, what you look like. You know, I've given you these talents, you know, and to never give up and to just continue to cling to him, and he will make it happen. And as I can see in my life, and it's just unbelievable how this opportunity just keep coming. And let him teach you how to write songs. Let him, any healing, any areas as songwriters, your most powerful songs are going to come from things that you've been through, the pain. You know, whatever anybody's done to you, that hurt, the unforgiveness is in you. Let him help you to forgive these people, and to just let him heal you through songwriting. I feel that, and many songwriters out there might agree, when we write something about something we've gone through, how we feel, something just lift off us. You feel something lift off, and it's like you've written and you've healed, and he's just sort of taken that from you. And I just think songwriting is such a powerful tool that, you know, it's given to us to write songs about love and lifting up and that. So I could go on and on about this. This is why I think I'm doing a workshop. I've got a whole 2 days of doing this. So.
5 minutes, honey, so you can still go on for 5 more minutes.
Oh, wow, okay. Okay.
We are just so excited about what you're saying, because what you're saying is all of our testimonies.
Yes. Yes.
And people hear us saying all the while, and a lot of time they think you're fanatics. But
yes,
now they're hearing it from you from across the globe. So
yes,
we want to give you this platform. Just keep going, baby, for 5 more minutes.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Like I said, just in my life, I continue to just meet people and that know people that I have so many people around me now that just are starting to see things happen in my life that are going, how is she doing this? How is this happening? And it's like it encourages their faith. So that's the thing, like if you can, as you trust God, and that's really what I think being a Christian to me is, it's learning to trust God.
Yeah.
And as Joyce Meyer said, like I'm watching one of her DVDs at the moment, which is From Fear to Faith. In your darkest moments, in your most depressed moments, and I know us songwriters and us in this industry, we can have a lot of depressed, you know, low moments. But those are the moments when you have to almost vocally declare, I totally trust God. I totally trust God. And just by saying that, you can feel you can feel yourself change inside. And just by saying a prayer, like for people that maybe struggling in their faith or people who haven't got a strong faith and, you know, whether they choose to believe in God or not, you know, just by saying a prayer, you can feel how your body feels inside different. Like, I think that's amazing. Like, just by saying a simple prayer, you can feel a difference. And then when you, it's unbelievable. Like, and when you do something good, like a random act of kindness, just whether it's like, cooking a meal for someone or making a cup of coffee, how you feel afterwards, like you feel so good, like where does that feeling come from? You know what I mean? Like for people who are struggling with their faith, it's like that, to me that's the Holy Spirit filling you up.
Yeah.
Because you've done something kind. You've done something that in the Word tells us, you know, when we do these things, you know, God, I feel like he blesses us by doing these acts of kindness. And you're not doing it just to get that feeling. You're doing it because you want to be kind. So, like I said, I could go on many tangents here, but just for people who might be struggling out there with their faith and might feel, I'm in my waiting time, I'm in my testing time, am I going to get my breakthrough, am I ever going to ever see anything here? Is there an area in your life where you've not completely surrendered to God? Is there something he's been trying to tell you or show you, and just pray to him for him to show it to you, and he will do that. He will do that. And my mum's always funny because she like we'll be in a car park and she'll pray for a car spot, and she says people criticize her saying, oh, that's a waste of a prayer, you know, don't waste God's time. And it's like some people tend to think that the real little prayers, are we wasting God's time? But no, because he takes care of every little detail. And sure enough, my mum will say that prayer and bang, there's a car spot. So, you know, some people think that, you know, you've got to only pray prayers that are like of the main things going on. But every little simple thing, God even knows, I believe God even knows that what you need. And before you even pray the prayer, he's just waiting for you to just give that to him. And another thing that as I've been walking this walk and people have been just put in front of my path, is that God might not give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need.
Right.
And what you need, yeah, is just so amazing. And you might think you want that flashy car, or you might want that promotion, or you might want that thing, and sometimes you might get it, but that feeling only lasts for a short time.
All right, Liz?
Yeah.
Tough, and we have our other guests on, and we want to encourage you to hang around and join us in the chat room and listen, because
okay,
this guest that's on, she's going to knock your shoes off. So you will want to hang around to listen to her. I want to thank you, Liz, for being so generous with your time and for being so open to us, so that we can all be encouraged, because what you have assured us this morning is that we are not alone.
No.
So I want to thank you so much for coming on with us, and, you know, join us in the chat room so you can spend some time with us. God bless you,
you
and
so
keep
much.
Doing God's work.
Okay, will do. God bless you all for listening. Thank you.
Good morning, Miss Riley.
Good morning, lovely lady.
How are you?
I'm empowered.
just so excited to have you. I tell you, you have some cheerleaders out in your neck of the woods. We got some people from AZ already in the chat room.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this opportunity to introduce to you one of America's most inspiring women. And into conversation this morning,
hello.
You will see how many hats Riley Pinsky wears, and she wears them very well. We have some people on the phone. We have lots of people in the chat room, and I just want to thank everybody for coming and for hanging in with us. So, Riley, welcome to the A New Day Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love you. I love you to pieces, and I'm just so happy to be on the show.
Thank you. And I tell you, I'm trying to keep my gratitude in check.
Don't keep it in check. Just absolutely let it spread out.
From the beginning, I know you are a great branding person, marketing person. You're an actress. You are a radio talk show host. You do it all, and you do it.
Yeah, well, you know, I bore easily. So
well,
I'm I'm a double Gemini with a moon in Taurus, so I really bore very easily. And I learned that when I was a very, very young child, because I was used to be blamed for being, you know, just doing nothing, or either doing too much or doing nothing. Then I learned all about astrology, and I said, that's the reason I'm a double Gemini with a moon in Taurus. Well, okay, so the double Gemini makes me look as if I'm bored because I'm just kind of floating in this creative world.
Uh-huh.
And you know, creative people, although they create things, they look like they're not creating anything. They're just kind of daydreaming and going along like a balloon riding on the air. And then the Taurus just kind of takes over, and boom, things happen. And my mother used to scratch her head and said, "I just don't understand you."
Riley, you said something that's it's a profound statement, because as we look in our classrooms in America today, a lot of our children who are in special education, they are a replica of what you just described.
Yes.
But nobody takes the time to see the creative side of them and help them to challenge that energy.
Well, you know, there's another thing. I as a PR person, one of my clients by the name of Jerry Bloom has a USA Reading Clinic .com, and he told me that a lot of those daydreamers, they're really bright, very, very bright people, but they have their junctions, their synaptic junctions, their programming, their processing is not in order. And he has this program that he whips them into shape immediately with a certain patterning program. And if parents only understood that their kids weren't really, quote-unquote, daydreaming, but were just couldn't make it, because that was me. That was totally me. I would sit there going, what? I can't connect the dots. I can't make A go to B go to C. I can make A go to C, but I miss B. And then, you know, we get chastised for that, and it's very, very sad, because there are, as you said, there are many people out there who look as if they're daydreaming. They are creating, because the creativity supersedes the brain power. There are, how many people do you know that are dyslexic, that are fantastic authors and painters? They're highly creative people, but they just don't have the dots to connect. And you say, how do you get there? And they say, well, we manage. You know, we go around the corner instead of going from point A to point B.
That's right. I have a very close friend. He's now in his late 60s, who for his entire school period was labeled dyslexic.
Mm-hmm.
And now the man taught himself to play guitar and all these other amazing things that he's now doing in this phase of his life, because there's nobody to tell him to fit into that box.
Right.
That he's
totally.
Been in when he was a young child. And this is just so amazing.
Yeah, that box is a bad thing to be in. I got to tell you. That was me. That was totally me. You know, I had a math tutor when I was in kindergarten because I could not and relatively all my life was not able to do math. And I would flunk everything in math. And my father and my brother could add numbers in their head, these big numbers, these long numbers, these wide numbers, and they would multiply and subtract, and they would have all these games doing this. And I would cry. I would go to my room, and I would cry. And what about 5 years ago, I learned what this thing is called modern math.
Ah.
Do you know what that is? You know, it's like where you add up the whole numbers. Like, how much is 74 and 52? Well, I would cry. But now I learned that 70 and 50, so 7 and 5 is 12, and add the 0, so it's 120. And whatever I said, the 4 and the 7, you know, whatever those other two numbers, the 3 and the 5 are 8. So 120 and 8 is 128.
Well, I'm glad you're sharing that, because I am devastated by math myself, and I have a math class to do in 8 weeks. So thank you for sharing that bit. And the good thing about it, I didn't have to pay for that. So,
and it works. It works in subtraction, and it works in multiplication. You know, you don't have to multiply 74 times 53. You multiply 70 times 50, and then, you know, the 3 and the 3 and the whatever I said. It's too early for me. It's 8 o'clock. So that, when I learned that, I was so empowered. And I thought, oh, all of these people out there, you know, they have the ability. They just can't connect A to B to C. So if they only find out ways, if teachers would recognize this, if parents, instead of pushing and pushing and pushing, would recognize that there is a way to get to C without going through B. You know, there are these processes that people teach. Wow. How much more empowered we would be.
Oh, and the thing is that we are all unique beings, and we are not supposed to learn the same way, but the system does not allow us to learn the way we can, and we can have a whole different show on that alone.
Yeah, and but that turns around to me, to the branding that I do and all the promotion that I do, because there are people out there who have been in a box all of their life because their parents, their teachers, their relatives have said don't promote yourself. Don't put your name out there. Don't you toot your horn. Don't you do this. Don't. And there are so many people out there who have so much to say and so much to offer the world, but they're scared out of their wits that they're going to get, I don't know, vivisected, hung, you know, I don't know. Their parents have said nasty things to them. And I want to shake those people and say, snap out of it. Promote yourself. Go out there and say hello and shake hands and tell people how wonderful you are.
Because especially for women, they say, oh, you know, ladies don't do that. And, oh, please, I already crushed that pane of glass about what ladies shouldn't do. So let's look on, because the first time I encounter you and hearing you and being in your company virtually was when you were doing a tele seminar on promote yourself.
Yes.
Oh, where do we begin? Everybody's looking, Riley, and they're saying, well, I don't have the budget for an ad campaign. I don't have money for newspaper ads. I don't have that. Where do we begin, Riley?
Well, first of all, you have to begin within yourself.
Yes.
You know, we just discussed that. That's where you begin, and you have to say to yourself, I don't have the money, I don't have this, but you don't say, I don't have the money, I don't have this, I don't have the... That's an excuse. That's an excuse. So what you say to yourself is, okay, I don't have the money, where can I go to do this for free?
Yeah.
Well, what is free? Radio talk shows are free. Television talk shows are free. Me talking to you on Blog Talk Radio is free.
I know that's right.
Going to mixers is free. Going, calling on the phone and saying, can we have coffee, is free.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of places you can start with that are small and also very large. I mean, calling a radio TV show, that's very large. That's a big thing to do. So it all goes back to, it's not so much that I don't have any money, it's I don't have very much courage.
Right, right. That's the bottom line. Riley, what role does our image play in all of this promotion business?
Oh, let's see. Do you have the word all in your vocabulary?
You know something? I am so happy to hear you say that, because people say to me all the while, why are you always dressed up? I said, because I'm a business person. I said, I don't know when I'm going to meet my $10 million client.
Yeah.
And I said, when I meet that person, I don't have time to go home and get ready.
Well, you know, I got to tell you something. When I was little, we didn't have a lot of money.
That's right.
And my mother used to say, and my father used to say, that your name is worth gold.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is worth gold. And even though we can't afford to dress you like so-and-so and such, because I used to complain all the time that I didn't look like them, and why couldn't we shop in those stores that they shop in? And my mother would say that people, if you're clean and if you're pressed, if you're ironed up and you're washed and your hair is combed, your eyes are bright and shiny, and you speak the words, she said, then people will pay attention. I was the most unwrinkled child you would ever want to see.
That's right. That's right. Because I tell people, you don't need a lot of clothes.
Right.
I know I love clothes and I love my shoes and everything, but a black skirt or a black pant works wonders. And they have a little thing they call scarves and pins and all of that. You can doctor up that baby. And every time you have a different color top, and if it's the same top, you throw a scarf around it, and whew!
You know, I bless Goodwill, and I bless the thrift shops, because they're doing a marvelous job for people who can't afford clothing to go buy them firsthand in the shops. And I just bless all those wonderful people. I have friends who can afford to go into those wonderful shops, and they shop at Goodwill and thrift stores. Well, for two reasons. One is because they do pick up wonderful values, but secondly, because they contribute to the rest of the people by going to Goodwill and the thrift shops and buying things there. The money goes to the possibility of other people being able to shop in those stores that can't afford to go elsewhere. So it's an interesting thing that my friends who can shop in the big stores, they support the Goodwills and the thrift shops by shopping there, because then the money goes in there and other people who can't afford to can go shop there. And when I heard that concept, I said, wow, that's interesting.
Yes, yes. But I have one dispute with the Goodwill and Salvation Army and the thrift shops. They don't have any large sizes.
I know that's right.
I know that the large people keep the stuff because it's hard for them to find it, so they don't donate it. So we're going to just plead to some large sizes. Please donate some stuff.
That's adorable.
Yeah, we want to ask the people in the chat room and on the phone whether or not they have any questions for Riley. We will also take questions in between. So, Riley, we can always go back to promotion and advertisement and marketing, but I know I was blessed to be on your show the other day, your radio show.
Yes.
And you have an amazing name for your show. It's called Your Attitude of Gratitude.
Platitude it is.
You know, why did you choose that name and how did that name come about? And after you tell us that, I also want you to tell the listeners how to tune into your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Daphne. Well, it you know, like all things, it just appeared in my mind one day. Gee, I wonder who could have brought it to me. I think someone was at work very high up.
Right.
And in the hierarchy of and in the sky, I think. Yeah, it just came to me one day because people were always saying to me, "You're so happy. You're so joyous. You're so," and I said, "Well, I'm glad. I would keep saying that to people. I'm glad for this and I'm glad for that." And then I went, "Well, wow, that's a lot of gratitude." You know, they used to say to me, "You're talking about gratitude?" And I said, "Well, no, not so much gratitude. Gratitude is one part of being glad."
That's right. That's
right. You
know,
I know a lot of people who are grateful, but they're still not glad.
Exactly. And there is a distinct difference.
You know, you see these people, they kind of have that sour look on their face, or a very concentrated look on their face, and they go, I'm really grateful that I had that opportunity, but I wish that, but only if, but I'm hopeful that. And I just said, no, that's not the way it works. You have to be totally, 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 totally grateful, and you have to, like, the corners of your mouth need to go up, and that's where glad is. So it's like a gratitude, G-A-L-A-D, like in glad. Gratitude is a combination of a lot of different feelings and emotions and experiences. It's, you know, it's joy, it's laughter, it's happiness, it's tap dancing and in your head. It's all kinds of things. And so that to me is what glad is. And so grateful is part of that. And gratitude is part of that. And so that's what gratitude is. And mostly when I give my speeches on how's your attitude of gratitude, the first thing that I make people do is laugh. Because if you can't laugh, hard to be glad. Hard to be glad. Because it just, like, and you know, Norman Cousins used to say that all the time, that the way to cure illness is to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And there are statistics. There are major statistics on people who laugh and how that is a healing, it's a wonderful healing tool.
Exactly.
So,
I don't know if you have ever heard about Dr. Joyce Salter.
Oh, yes.
She's from the Connecticut area, and she's one of the professors here at one of the colleges. And she has a presentation that she does, so she does some laughing workshops, and you know, I've been to some of those with her, and you would be surprised to know how difficult it is for some people to laugh.
Oh, totally. I'm not surprised at all. It's really funny. I looked at the person and very, very difficult to laugh, to get them to laugh. And of course, you know, that goes back to childhood and even before childhood, if you believe in reincarnation. But it's parents are very interesting. Don't smile. Don't laugh. Be serious. People won't take you seriously if you're laughing all the time. Well, my goodness, I don't want those people. I want the people who laugh.
I don't need to be around those people.
I want to be with the people who are laughing all the time. So, you know, But it's really interesting what teachers, you know, when they slap you across the knuckles and they tell you to be quiet and to stop laughing and why are you smiling and it's not funny, and I just want to look at them. In fact, I used to do that, and I used to get in a lot of trouble, and I'd say, but it is funny. Let me tell you how funny it is and why it's funny. No, into the corner with you. And
wow.
So that's the way I kind of grew up. And then, of course, my mother, when I would get home with a note, you know, from the teacher, and she'd say, in the corner again. You know, why did you do that? Why can't you stop laughing? Why can't you stop fooling around? If the right channeling were done early, if the child was channeled by the teacher, by the parent, into the laughter.
That's right.
When they notice that it is a child that is in that way. That's why, you know, I really bless magnet schools. Magnet schools are taking that from, they're helping the children. They're like trade schools used to be. So magnet schools, there's magnet schools for the performing arts, magnet school for the science, magnet schools for this, that, all kinds of different things. And if you're in an area where there are magnet schools, get your child in them. They're public schools. They're public schools, but they specialize in children who laugh, in children who are scientists, et cetera. So ask, if you're listening and you have children or you are relatives of children who are suffering greatly, find them a magnet school immediately.
And up here in Connecticut, the students are being bused, even from other districts, to participate in the magnet school. So that's a blessed thing. I have been singing praises to the people who advocate to get the schools here.
Yes.
I want to, Riley, we have 37 minutes remaining. I want to ask the people on the telephone, do you have a question for Riley? Anybody on the telephone, do you have a question? Anybody in the chat room, if you have a question, please write it. And while I wait on you to give me that, Riley, I want to ask you a question. The other day we were speaking, and you said something to me that I have been thinking about greatly since I hung up the phone.
Ooh.
You see, I don't want to read bios. Bios are boring.
I did say that.
Let's talk about that.
Well, bios are boring, but people are interesting.
Yes.
So
yes.
I usually just, instead of reading, you know, with this tone of voice, you always can tell people are reading, and it's a perfunctory read because everybody thinks that they have to do that. Well, what I prefer to do is write out the bio for the person or have the person write it out, put it up on my website, and send people ahead of time to the website to read who the person is about. And then when I get them on the phone, as you probably do now since I said that to you, then they just say, so Raleigh, tell me a little bit about yourself. And what I have instructed the person to do ahead of time is to pick out the most important things that they want people to know about them. And let them say it. It's one or two sentences. It doesn't go on and on forever. It doesn't bore the people in the audience. And if they want to know all about me, they can go to RaleighPinsky.com or they can go to PromoteYourself.com. And if they want to know all about my one-woman show that I'm taking to Boulder in August, and it's going to be, the last one is in Los Angeles on this coming Sunday, then they can go to evolutionofsoul685.com, and they can find my bio. They can go to Google and bring up my name and find my bio. I just want to talk about wonderful things.
Yes, I wanted, if it was okay with you, before we get off, I wanted to touch a bit on the one-woman show. But you know something, Riley? I think what limits us and what binds us into making these bios so boring is because of all the stereotype and programming that we get. and go back to the things that we were talking about earlier on, all the things we should do and not do. A lot of people don't feel comfortable in promoting themselves and highlighting all these wonderful things about them.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So how do we get around that?
Yes, yes.
Well, let's just say, first I have to say there are times when bios are absolutely necessary. If you're getting a if you want a job, you have to have a sufficient bio with all your credentials. If you're trying to get on a radio talk show, you have to have credentials to add to what it is you're talking about. But, you know, Daphne, I have this thing that I teach, and it's called the 8-second pitch.
Uh-huh.
And most people think it's a 30-second commercial, an elevator speech. It's not that at all, because in an elevator speech, people have – how many seconds do you take before you flip the radio or the television to another channel?
You asking me?
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. I really don't know. I've never timed myself.
Is it fast? Is it slow? Do you sit there and wait and watch, or do you just identify what you're seeing and you flick it immediately if it's not what you want?
I think I just look to fill my need and move on.
Okay. So you would say it's rather quickly, maybe up to 2 or 3 or 4 seconds. You see, the mind now, and it's not the ADDH mind and all of that. It's just that we are so attuned to clip, 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 that we now take anywhere from 3 to 4 seconds at the longest before we switch the channel. Now, that's also the channel in our minds.
Yes.
When we look at someone, if we look at their clothing, if we look and see that they're not giving us eye contact, maybe their hair is disheveled, we don't look to see the real person. We move on to the next person that fits the model in our mind that we're looking for.
Right.
This is both good and bad, but what I'm trying to say is that when you give a 30-second elevator speech or a commercial, as that people are calling them, when you stand up at a meeting,
uh-huh,
and you do 30 seconds or a minute, people listen to the first 4 seconds,
right,
and then they tune out, and then they listen to the last 4 seconds because they know that you're finishing and you're going to sit down.
Wow.
And they're waiting for the next person to get up and do their 4 seconds. So I developed a long, long time ago, in 1991, when I wrote
Wow.
my first book, which is called You Can Hype Anything, I developed then a 12-second speech, a 12-second hook. And so now it's down to 8 because we have to move it shorter, and I can even do 6.
Yes.
And people say you can do 6 seconds. You can do 6 seconds and fully introduce yourself.
Mm.
What people don't understand is that in 6 seconds, by whatever words you choose, people will then know who you are, what you have to say, and then you can say more.
Because they will want to know more and they ask you. So would you like to give us a sample of your, what you're down to, 6, your 8 seconds?
Well, before I do that, I want to mention another thing. People think that they have to say the same thing over and over and over again. I go to a lot of meetings, a lot of luncheons, a lot of breakfasts. People stand up, and I hear meeting after meeting at the same exact 8 seconds, 12 seconds, 1 minute speech. They don't vary it. And I want to go up and gently shake them.
Mm.
And I do. I basically do. I because I teach this, I do it by example, and so I change it every week.
That's right. Guy, you got to keep fresh.
Got to keep fresh. You got to give a different angle. You have to pose a different attitude. You have to pose a different angle. There are times when I will just stand up and start laughing. There. How many seconds did that take, do you think? Two.
Oh my God.
It took 2 seconds. Now, what would be, Daphne, what would be the other 4 to 6 seconds that you would say after those 2 seconds of laughing to an audience?
I help people identify their joy.
Okay. I'm gonna applaud. I could applaud, but I'm holding the phone in my other hand. So I'm going to click my fingers. Yay! Now, if you heard that, wouldn't you want to talk to Daphne?
Well, how do you do that?
Well, how do you do what?
No, I'm saying they were the person
would
ask,
yes.
Well, how do I do that? And I give them a little bit more teaser. I'm not going to tell them everything.
No, but you laughed for 2 seconds, and then you said, I bring people joy?
I help people enjoy their joy.
Okay, now, I'm going to say it for you. You can tell me how many seconds it was. I help people enjoy their joy.
4 seconds.
So you have 2 more seconds to then say, Daphne Hudson Clark. Daphne Clark Hudson?
Yes.
And you hold up your cards in your hand so that imprint that they can come and get your card is in their mind.
Yes.
Most people stand up, say their name, say sort of what they do, what their feature is, not their benefit, and they sit down.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
That's the same to me as showing up in front of somebody in a wrinkled shirt with your hair not washed, and, spots on yourself.
Yep. Amazing. Listen, Riley, would you please, for people in the chat room are going crazy.
Ooh. crazy is my kind of person.
People want your website. What's her website? Say it slowly again. Give them how to get in touch with you. People are saying, oh, she is just simple, amazing. And, of course, you know I'm a show-off, so I just tell them.
That's cute. That is cute. Well, I have several websites, and one of them is called promoteyourself.com. That has a lot of free articles, and you can join my blog and my newsletter there.
And, Riley, if they go back to my blog, all of your, I think, 7 or 10 links are on there, so they can just get them.
Oh,
from...
okay. And then I have this website called Raleigh R. Pinsky, and Raleigh is R-A-L-E-I-G-H, just like the city, Raleigh. And then the R is in the middle. That's my my middle initial, and my middle name is Rudy. So,
okay, I don't know what's happening, but Riley, we have. So I'm going to take the call. Caller from 602, your first 3 digits. Good morning. You're on the air.
That's Arizona.
Yes. Good morning, to the host and to Riley. How you doing?
Hi.
My name is Minister Rosalind Jennings, and I teach on forgiveness. And I was just—I really enjoyed that example. Can you give an example? How can I promote myself instead of letting people know, hey, I teach on forgiveness?
Well, you know, I'm going to say something that is sort of I teach forgiveness as well, but I don't stand up and say that I teach forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Because people kind of close down.
Okay. Okay.
I believe that there's a certain part of the population that just goes back into their own story.
Okay.
And doesn't really like the word forgiveness because they really don't want to forgive the people.
Yes.
For doing whatever they've done to them, and they just want to punch them in the face constantly. And I say that
true.
I'm not trying to be snippy here.
No, you're being real, and I appreciate that. Go ahead.
So what I ask you to do is to look at what is the benefit of forgiveness.
Mm.
You can tell me. I know you can because you teach it. So what do you teach is the benefit of forgiveness? Give me three benefits of forgiveness?
The benefit of forgiveness is mainly releasing the hurt, disappointment, and anger.
Okay,
and
now oh, that's very good. This is true. Now, if I said to you, not to you, but someone in the audience, I can help you release your hurt and your anger. And what else did you say?
Hurt, anger, and disappointment.
And disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is what I have seen when I started out doing this. Because, see, the attitude of gratitude is the opposite of forgiveness, of hurt,
yes,
anger, and all those other words.
Yes. Yes.
And so I noticed that when I was saying, I can help you get over your hurt, your anger, your frustration, your people would go, their faces would cloud up, or they would get this pensive look on their face that said, ooh, do I really look like that? Oh, I must look ugly. I'm going to the bathroom. Do you follow me? They get hurt all over again in a different way, because that's not really what they want to look like. So I decided that I would flip the stuff that makes people go, into the stuff that people go, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So let's continue on with the dialogue. What is the benefit of not feeling hurt, angry, blah, 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 blah? What is that benefit?
The benefit of it, what is it? It's peace, joy.
Go ahead.
And freedom.
Yeah.
I would say
peace,
freedom, hope, and restoration.
Okay, freedom, hope, and restoration. Now, wouldn't it picture yourself at a meeting,
mm-hmm,
and you get up and you say, who here would like to feel what hope is like? Or who here would like to experience hope at the absolute highest? Who here would like to be able to stand up straight with their shoulders back and just go, I'm the best.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's
powerful.
Yeah, Daphne talks about this. Yeah, absolutely. Now the person is in a very up mood, and then you can get to them about what forgiveness actually feels like.
Because
mm-hmm, that's what forgiveness feels like. It's the laughter. It's the joy. It's the, yeah, I'm
freedom.
Okay. I'm okay, even though you don't think I'm okay.
Okay.
Now, what if you stood up in the middle of a meeting and said, how would you like to feel okay, even though you have parents and relatives that tell you that that you're not okay? What happens all of a sudden? What kind of feeling did you just have when I said that?
They get back down. Like, what are you talking about? They feel like you judging them or correcting them, but you're trying to help them, but they don't see it that way. You know,
Minister, she asked you, what was your feeling now when she asked you that?
When I heard that, it's telling me to get to the root of my problem. But everybody don't see it like that.
Yeah.
It's telling me that I have a problem, that I need to be honest about it. That's what it's telling me, but everybody don't see it like that.
And there are other people who would see it like, oh, wow, I am different and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get people to feel good about them feeling bad.
Okay. That's good.
That's
good.
To me what forgiveness is. That's how I look at getting people to understand about forgiveness, is to make them feel good about what they do have, and if they've been blamed for something all of their life, they can let that go, because that's somebody else's stuff, not theirs. So forgiveness to me is a compilation of all of somebody else's stuff. Now, what if you stood up and you say, let's say you have a box in your hand, okay, or a bag, a paper bag, or a goldfish bowl, and you hold it up and you say, if you could put all your hate, anger in this bag right now, if you could come up and do that, and I could close it up and throw it away, burn it, throw it in the river, it'll never come back again, what would you feel like? How many seconds did that take, Daphne?
Oh, my God. Seconds.
How many?
Two.
Okay. Two, three, four. You know, people would just, I believe they would stand up and they would say hallelujah.
That's joy and freedom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you do feel freedom, you feel empowered. You know, like all that weight off your chest. Like, you know what? Hey, I don't need this. I'm going to let this go.
Now, what if you took and you put a rock on everybody's plate at lunch?
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing a forgiveness lecture, of course. Or not, because you teach forgiveness. So you put a rock on everybody's plate.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's your turn to get up to speak, of course, you have a little card attached to it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But a little double-sided sticky tape never hurt anybody. So you it's great for promotion. So there you are, and there's a rock, and you get up and you say, how would you like to take this rock and throw and put all your sorrows, wrap all your sorrows around it and throw it away, and how much less do you weigh now?
It gives them something to think about. It gives them something to think about.
Yeah. The visual of this rock being weight.
That's right.
And if you throw away all their crap that they're, you know, they've been all of their life, somebody else's. This is someone else's rock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell that you have that language in you, young lady.
Think about. It gives them something to think about.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do you know that I live in Phoenix?
Visual of this rock.
You know what? I no longer live in Phoenix. I've been living here in Stone Mountain, Georgia.
You have a 602 area code.
Yeah. When I moved from Arizona, I used to live in Tempe. I kept it.
I live in Carefree.
Oh, Carefree. Okay. But please drink plenty of water and stay cool. You know how hot it is out here.
Yes, ma'am. It was a pleasure speaking
you.
With you.
Thank
I hope
you
that
so
was
much.
Helpful.
It was. Right. Thank you so much. And much of something. God bless you. You and also to the host, thank you so
I'll
much.
I'll take all the blessings I can get.
Thank you so much.
And may I say right back at you.
Thank you. God bless you. Much
yes.
blessings.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So you see what I'm talking about? An eight-second speech?
Yeah, hold on. Yes, Riley. We have 16 minutes remaining. Any questions from the people on the chat room? And Riley's going to give us a sample of her eight-second speech.
Well, I'll give you one of my eight-second speeches. I have so many different ones, Daphne, because I find that when people are, quote-unquote, married to their eight-second speech, you know, they've paid a lot of money to have it made, they don't give it up so easily. And,
right.
And it's not appropriate in every single situation. It's not. So there are times I will go to a meeting and I look around and I assess the people that are there and what they're talking about. And I try not to speak first, of course. I want to hear the other speeches. And then I usually ask a question. That's my speech, is I ask a question. Because as you know, when you ask a question, whether people want to answer it or not, they're still listening because it's a question.
That's right.
So it attracts attention. So I am an attention getter. Gee, who said that? I always was and I always will be. And I was always chastised for being an attention getter by teachers, by, you know, don't show off. Don't do this, don't do that, blah, 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 blah. Well, I have, so I will get up at a table and I will say, depending upon what I'm teaching at the time, so give me a topic. Let's see, if I'm teaching branding, I will, if it's a business, and I want people to come to a branding lecture, a seminar that I'm giving, I will stand up and I will say, let's see, what did I do the other day? I stood up and I said, hi, I'm the person that, okay, would you believe that I'm the person that can help you make $1 million in, get $1 million in free publicity?
Mm.
Now, I did not ask, would you like $1 million in free publicity? Because people will stand there and say yes.
Yep.
But I want them to come to me. So I said, I'm the person. Would you believe? Because then now they have to believe. Listen to the words. Then they have to hook on to believe.
That's right. I am.
That means they have to look at me.
Right.
First. The person that can get you.
Right.
$1 million in free publicity. Now they're looking at me. You can get me that? I don't have to do it myself? Where do I sign up?
No, they want to talk with you further.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Riley, for sharing that. Now,
well, you're welcome. But if I'm teaching gratitude, I
yes.
can't get up and say that. But I can switch it and say, would you believe that I'm the person that can get you to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and feel good about yourself?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Then the person.
No,
has to...
Riley.
As
a branding, marketing person, a promotion, and all of those good words.
Yes.
What are some recommendations? We only have 13 minutes, and I also want you to talk about where the One Woman Show is going next. What are some recommendations for us to tap into national media? It might be print or any other form. What are some recommendations?
Are you asking me what books and products, or what are you asking me specifically? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Let's say we are looking for additional publicity, not only in our local state, but to tap into other national media. Is it through email or written? What's your recommendation? Press releases?
Well, a press release is an interesting way to do it. Not all the stations pick up it. The headline has to be absolutely interesting.
Yes. Yes.
That's really, if you're going to send out, and they're called media releases, actually. Press releases are old. Media releases are in because of the electronic publicity. So you want to do a headline that's going to sell, and that headline is basically your eight second speech, what we just talked about. I do seminars on this, and I'll let you know when the next one is, and you can send it out to your people. But that's what a headline is. It's another way to do an 8-second speech. I have books on this, and I have books on how to get on talk shows, where to find them. But you can look in Google, and you can look at where you can send it. You can look under media, under press releases. If you're going to send a press release, though, your title is the most important thing.
Yes. And that it should not exceed one page?
The press release, it's the media release itself?
Yes.
The media release, well, you know, if you're going to send it electronically, they don't even want to read a whole page.
Okay.
I do bullet points.
All right. Okay.
If you email a radio station or a television station and put a whole page, which is about 320 words, in a message, forget it. So what you want to do is you want to tease them about what it is you want to talk about and make it very specific and very either entertaining or meaningful, and then give them a website to go to.
Yes.
So
yes.
that they can find out all the other information.
Okay. And would you please, before we go into your One Woman show, we have 10 minutes remaining. Would you just please mention the site for your books, Riley?
It's promoteyourself.com. Because that's what I do. I teach people how to promote themselves.
PromoteYourself.com.
And there's also another site which has my speaking and all my other things on it, and that is Raleigh, R, Pinsky, P as in Paul, INSKEY.com.
Thank you.
And at the bottom of all of those sites is my Facebook and my Twitter and my LinkedIn. So they you can spend years just trying to figure out.
Ali, and I tell you, listeners, she's not kidding. You go there and you can spend 3-4 years just going through Riley.
But, you know, I've done it for a reason, Daphne. I've made it that complete so that people can see what they need to do to promote themselves.
Right. And it's years and wealth of resources that is there for our benefit. So take advantage of it and invest in yourself. Invest.
Yes, very definitely. And if you're interested in following up with me, either sign up for my newsletter or just send me an email that you're interested. But sign up for my newsletter, because that's how I keep people on the list, and then they get all the stuff that I talk about and do. So, yes. Sign up for the blog and the newsletter.
Thank you. This is your last chance. Any questions from the chat room? Any questions from the telephone? While they are gathering their questions, Riley, just tell a little bit about your one-woman show and where it's going to be next.
It is the title is Evolution of Soul 685. I am Soul 685. And we talk about my journey from heaven through going to earth and then back up to heaven, but I get a better cloud. I used to be on this mediocre white flat cloud, and I was very, very happy. But my mother was not happy, so she made me move. She took my halo. She stole my halo. She threw it into the ring for a contest for a bigger, better everything cloud. This, of course, is the whole mother, you know, the mother-daughter thing, and with it being in humor, however, I was not happy. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to be moved. I didn't want to be pushed. I didn't want to go anywhere. But when I saw the advantages of the bigger, better everything cloud, which includes 85% chocolate and some other wonderful things, I sort of went kicking and screaming. So I go. So the show is me going through all of that, picking my and then going to Earth, and I have to pick my own family. I have to pick what I want to look like. I get, because we have free will, so I get to pick all of this stuff, and then I get to Earth, and now I'm in the womb. So I talk about what my experiences are in the womb, when we go to the park, when I hear people talking, all kinds of things. And then I get born, and then the next thing is I'm up in heaven again on this big, wonderful, beautiful, everything cloud that I managed to get to because I did the work. So I evolved, and I got up to the cloud, and then I reminisce about what went on Earth. It's very funny. And I'm doing it the last Sunday. This coming Sunday is the last Sunday in Los Angeles, and then in August I'm doing it in Boulder. And then I don't know where I'm going to do it after that, but that's what I'm doing. So if anybody knows anybody in Boulder, please send them to soul685.com. S-O-U-L, the number 6, the number 8, the number 5.com.
And Riley,
yes.
We have 5 minutes. I want to do your closing thought, but let's say somebody that is listening want to get it in their city. They just email you to discuss the details?
Yes. Absolutely.
Awesome.
They can call me. My phone number is listed on Soul685, and it's all over the other websites. They can call me. They can email me, and I'd be more than happy to come to their city, to their church, to their business organization, put it on for them. I do charge because I like to be happy.
That's
but,
right.
But we can talk, as they say. We can talk.
Hey, wonderful. You know, Riley, I'm going to give you 3 minutes for your closing thoughts, but before you do that, I just want to take this opportunity for thank you for blessing us with your expertise and for being so generous with your time. And I'm praying that you will be able to come back at a later date and join us. Again, I thank you for all your expertise.
And I'm honored that you asked me.
Please give us your closing thoughts.
My closing thoughts are that it's other people's stuff. And you got to shake off the fact that it's other people's stuff. And you got to go out there. And if you just shake hands with someone, you're on your road to promoting.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You know,
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mrs. Riley Pinsky. And it doesn't get any better than this. I want to encourage you to watch her show, which is called Attitude of Gratitude. And when are you on, Riley?
I'm on Wednesdays from noon Pacific time.
Right. So,
today at noon Pacific time to 1 o'clock Pacific time.
Up in the Northeast, it's 3 o'clock. So join Riley and there and just listen to her, have fun, and just extract from her guests. It's just a wonderful show.
And if they can't listen to it, then archive it. It's up there. They can listen to it later.
They can listen to it later. And I want to thank the people in the chat room for hanging out with us.
Thank you, folks.
And the people on the phones. And I pray that this investment of time was worth it for you. I know
worth it for me.
Yes. Gotten some tools that you can put in your toolbox and not only put them there, but I want you to start using them and work on your 8-second speech so the next time Riley's on, you can repeat it for her.
Sign up for the blog and sign up for the newsletter, because then when I have the workshop on the 8-second speech, then you'll be able to come. Then I'll know
yes.
who you are.
Yes, thank you so much, Riley, for just investing in us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Daphne. Blessings.
For showing me, hallelujah. and directing me. Speak to it, my destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this place. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and pray.